It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. School-based lead testing for thousands of Milwaukee public school students is getting underway.
After years of delays, the Milwaukee Health Department recently received a $400,000 federal grant to test children for lead poisoning.
The federal funds support expanded in-school lead screening, along with outreach efforts to parents and community members.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, is now on the ground in Milwaukee to support the effort, which aims to screen up to 8,000 students in the coming year.
This comes after the district spent about $43 million to clean up widespread lead paint hazards at 100 schools.
Richard Diaz is co-founder and chair of the Coalition on Lead Emergency. That's a volunteer-run Milwaukee group focused on preventing lead poisoning. Richard, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hi, thank you.
And Tyler Weber is here, Deputy Commissioner of the Milwaukee Health Department's Environmental Health Division. Tyler, thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
Tyler, there's been a lot of back and forth with this grant money after mass layoffs at the CDC last year. Now that this $400,000 grant is in place, what is it allowing you to pay for and do that you weren't able to do before?
Yeah, it's an incredible help. It's allowing us to send the money out to partners that are really doing the work. That's Novir, a local agency for blood lead testing, and then our partnership with Coalition for Lead Emergency. And this is all filtering through MPS. So now we can set up clinics weekly and monthly from now for the next 12 months. So it's a critical help in this effort.
Weekly clinics. Richard, how is this grant supporting your work with the Coalition on Lead Emergency?
Yeah, so, you know, our coalition is very pleased for the work being done in partnership with the health department and MPS. And in fact, in 2023, we formed our 501c3, the Coalesce Safe and Healthy Homes Project. That is the official partner, a part of the project. You know, we are extremely happy to help with that parental engagement and making sure that the youth in the community are tested and screened often.
Tyler, now that this team from the CDC is helping out in Milwaukee, what kind of support is the CDC providing?
So they're here this week to look at the neighborhoods, to tour the schools, to see that the work that was done and see the powerful work that Cole is doing. They've signed over 200 consents. And so the CDC now is returning this week to Atlanta, and then they're going to provide ongoing support as we get results in. How do we interpret results? How do we respond? How do we continue to support our schools and families? So it's going to be an ongoing support, and it's good to have them on the ground.
When you say over 200 consents, is that parents, guardians signing off on allowing their child to be tested?
Yeah, we can't just randomly test any child. We need the parents to sign off and consent to having their child screened.
And Tyler, the district has held several lead screening clinics so far. What kind of turnout have you been seeing?
So previously, since March of 2025, we've screened over 900 children. Some clinics very successful. Some have less of a turnout than we want. But since February, in our formal partnership with Novir and Cole, we've had excellent turnout. So we're really happy with what we learned over the last year and what's needed to screen as many children as possible when we set up the clinics.
What have you learned? What makes the difference?
Having community partners knocking on doors and talking to parents directly to say why this is important, because they'll listen to someone at Cole, honestly, more than they may listen to somebody with a government badge. So that partnership is critical.
Richard, can you talk further about that? Why do you think it's so important to have these screenings in schools rather than at, say, doctor's offices or other places in the community?
Well, the relationship between the school, the teachers and the administrators, you know, and their commitment to engaging with youth and keeping young minds healthy and safe, I think that relationship is something that makes testing at schools and in partnerships with schools a lot more practical. Also, in terms of, you know, our folks engaging, you know, we've built a model that employs parents that have children who have been lead poisoned. So they're able to relate in the way that somebody that, you know, simply knows or think it's the right thing to do, because, you know, our folks have that lived experience and that cultural competency.
Do you personally have that lived experience?
Yes, I have, various relatives that, have been impacted by lead in ways in which they haven't been able to hold full-time jobs, in ways in which, they have serious health issues. And it hits a lot differently when it's someone you know that has been lead poisoned versus, reading the news articles or reading various research studies about why lead is harmful.
Will these be lifelong struggles?
They will be. It will be lifelong struggles for the individual, and it will also be a lifelong issue for society as we continue to let more kids be lead poisoned. Milwaukee was smart in the way that it used its American Rescue Plan Act dollars to dedicate resources to lower the blood action level that triggers investigations. But, we're at a pivotal time where the city will need to think through what is our contingency plan once this federal cliff hits at the end of 2026 and the ARPA money is no longer available. So, another reason why we are so fortunate for this partnership with the health department and the resources from the CDC to continue screening. So we know how much of an issue this is. Typically, the health department only has about enough resources to abate 200 homes a year. And as we uncover that more youth are impacted, we can make a case for why more resources are needed and have evidence to show that mm-hmm. more abatement and primary prevention is needed.
We're talking with Richard Diaz, their co-founder and chair of the Coalition on Lead Emergency, and Tyler Weber, Deputy Commissioner of Environmental Health with the Milwaukee Health Department, as we look at efforts underway in Milwaukee to test children for lead poisoning after Milwaukee Public Schools stabilized lead paint in 99 elementary school buildings last year. Tyler, the grant covers screenings for up to 8,000 students in Milwaukee Public Schools, but we know the district has more than 65,000 students. How is the health department working with the school district to prioritize which students to screen and prioritize?
We're a childhood lead poison prevention program, and under state law, it's under the age of six. And biologically lead, the younger someone is poisoned, the more impact it could have long-term on their life. And so we're starting with the youngest children first in the district and then seeing what other additional resources we can get to continue screening even post the CDC grant. So the CDC grant is a big boost to get us started with the youngest, most vulnerable children. And then what do we need to keep doing to expand that to potentially older ages later on?
Would the youngest children be your 4K students or your kindergarten?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so almost 100 elementary schools had lead problems that were cleaned up by the end of last year. Huge effort. If the students at all of these schools got tested, it would be far more than this grant provides for. Do you think is more needed?
Yes. I mean, Milwaukee, overall, we have a lot of lead in our environment. We know from this past year it's in our schools. It's also in our homes and soil. And so there's a lot of work that's needed to clean up our city. And there's a lot of work needed to continually testing as much as we can our most vulnerable population, our children.
Richard, how are parents kept in the loop about their child's lead levels? And what should families know when they look at these screening results?
They should know that, harm has been done if your child is determined to have an elevated blood lead level. We have a great partnership with Children's Hospital, which, we partner with them on a cooking with coal event where families can come in and learn various recipes and cooking techniques and forms of nutrition to keep yourself safe and protect yourself from childhood lead poisoning. But our families are mostly interested in seeing continued services ramp up. DHS released a report in 2014 that stated that lead poisoning is more of a poor school performance indicator than poverty or class size. Hmm. So, these partnerships with the health department, MPS, and the hospital systems are happening and have to happen if we hope to save more children.
Tyler, talk about those next steps. If lead is detected during one of these screenings for a child, what are the next steps taken by the health department?
Yeah, so next step is we're calling every positive test. We have a nurse team. We also have a home inspector team that are all qualified lead risk assessors. So there's the higher the lead level, the stronger intervention is. But we'd like to get a home visit for each with the nurse for each child that tests positive, and then see what resources we have to go beyond that.
Could it be other things in that child's environment, or could lead be compounding for that child if it's, you know, a school issue, a home issue?
It could be any combination of all the above, and that's why conducted investigations are so critically important, where we take dust wipe samples at home and we use a X-ray analyzer to determine where lead is on the walls or in surfaces. We look outside. So there's a lot extensive work that we do, especially at the higher lead levels, to not only detect the lead, but then invest in controlling it and making it a safe environment. So there's a lot of work that goes into what happens and caring for the family and supporting the family over such a challenging time.
Richard, from the view of your coalition, what would success for this testing effort look like as you look down the road here?
Yeah, I think long term, right? Like we've had some preliminary discussions with NPS well before the various lead investigation and abatement efforts to see if the schools can mandate lead tests be performed for youth, and if, you know, families don't have those tests done, being able to set up on-site opportunities, making it more systemic and across various departments at NPS, being able to have lead poisoning be a focal point of how the school system cares for its youth. I think also standing up clinics in the places that are the most vulnerable, right? Like we are very grateful that a private partner like Novir can step up, right? But it can't just be Novir. And in order to meet the problem at scale, we're going to need a lot more hospital systems and
to step up. Yes. Richard and Tyler, thank you so much for joining us. That is Richard Diaz, co-founder and chair of the Coalition on Lead Emergency. Tyler Weber, deputy commissioner of the Environmental Health Division with the Milwaukee Health Department.